depending upon the help of God. I would direct your attention to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith of God's elect. And my dear friends, what a mercy if you and I have a little grain of living faith in exercise to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Philippian jailer. Here was one that by the events, the answers to prayer, the great earthquake, he was brought to that condition whereby he realized he had an ever-dying soul, and in a moment, and what was that in his heart? What must I do to be saved? And what was the answer given him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, my friends, belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, firstly, there's this work in one soul. There's that acknowledgement of their sinnership before a holy, heart-searching God. What a mercy if you and I know something of the sins of disobedience, the sins that you and I have committed, thought, word and deed, not only deed, my friends, thought. And you know, we have no power to control our thoughts, have we? And some of us are tempted and tried, I would say pressed down beyond measure, when we realize the solemn office we humbly hope the Lord has put us in. And maybe there are those lesser offices, and some of you may be in the church, and some of you humbly seeking his face. But all you have to realize, I believe, are the solemn, sinful thoughts that come upon one's mind, and I believe the enemy of our souls delights in it. But you see, if we knew nothing of the righteousness of Christ, there'd be no desire in our souls, would there, to seek, as it were, the escape from the solemn judgment that comes upon sin. And we read this, whatsoever is not faith is sin. And God, we read, cannot look upon sin. And you and I perfectly know perfectly well that we are given an allotted time here below, 80 years. And what if they're 80 years? Are they not trouble and sorrow? Yes. And it's by reason of sin. So then what a mercy if you and I are like that Philippian jailer, more or less, to seek this living faith in exercise in our souls. And the Lord deals gently at the beginning, for the most part, with his people. But then you see there be that desire that you might grow that your faith might grow from strength to strength. In our early days, we might be favoured to be delivered from this or that trial, be it in providence, or be it an exercise of soul, or be it a concern of someone else, maybe in our family, or near to us by the ties of nature. And we are favoured to be delivered by this and that, by prayer. But then, you see, we soon become careless. Yes, and prayerless. But then our desire is, as we are brought to those spots and places where the Lord brings us, whereby we are, as it were, brought to depend more wholly upon Him. And we seek that our steps might be ordered of the Lord. You see, we know this, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we look upon maybe elders in the churches, or godly deacons, put it whichever way we may, but we look at those and we see godly mothers in Israel. And we see that and hear of their faith. And that though they are brought into great trials, that may be bodily or spiritually, that they are still trusting in the Lord God, who they know has helped them hitherto, and they're ready to acknowledge His mercies toward them. And it may be that when we're in our early days, we do not have the faith in exercise that we would have. But you see, the purpose of the gospel is this. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we read. So you may be seeking to come into the sanctuary, seeking that you might be fed by the Lord's servants, or fed even, some have been favoured to have been fed by the reading of the word, or even in prayer, and lastly, and I would not put it leastly, it may be the hymns that we sing. And what a mercy that there are such beautiful hymns left on record, faithful hymns. Those men were full of faith, I would say, when they penned such hymns. And so you feel sometimes as you sing them, you cannot attain to the language, but have you a desire in your heart that you might? Have you a little faith to believe that those hymn writers were only men? They're only men, friends. They weren't holy men. They were sinful men. 'Tis true that the grace in their hearts gave them that living faith to believe beyond all hope that the Lord would be mindful of them. And so we have such language left on record for our instruction, and that we might be favoured to have this increase in faith till we all come in the unity of the faith. And you see, faith will cause us to seek the Lord by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Faith will cause us to do this. And faith, my friends, will cause you and I to read the word in secret. And we shall desire to read it prayerfully. And though so oftentimes we read the word and there seems nothing in it for us, but there will be that appointed time when the Lord will appear for you, I believe, because it's this: them that honour me, I will honour. And remember this, and whoever we are, however old we may be, honoring God is to seek to read His holy word and to seek to ask His face to appear for you, to ask Him for those things pertaining to your providential path, seeking His face. You see, we're exhorted to do this, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. This God, is He your God? Have you faith to believe He is your God? He's your Father? And that He's given His dear Son for you? He's a ransom. He's paid the price for your sins. You see, this is it. We want this living faith, but to hope in His mercy till we all come in that unity of faith. And you know, my friends, I believe this. If there's that little living faith in exercise in your soul, there'll come a time when you'll speak with those other souls that are seeking His faith. I believe there be this conversation one to another, not in a glib manner. Oh no, but I believe there be that drawing out from the Lord's people one to another. There be that union in your heart one to another. And you'll be enabled to speak of the things. Maybe you cannot speak of many things, but if you're unable to speak of one or two real things, my friends, there'll be joy in that other one's heart that you converse with. There'll be joy one to another. You'll feel that union one to another. And it's that unity of the faith. Your faith and your hope is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that He is the way of salvation. You know that there's no other name given among men under the canopy of heaven where you can be saved but this name of Jesus. And my friends, this is the name the Father loves to hear His children plead. Do you plead it? Are you ashamed to plead His name? This is the name the Father loves, remember, to hear His children plead. And all such pleadings He approves and blesses them. Indeed, He'll give you an indeed blessing. I believe if you're enabled by this faith, this strengthening of your faith to pray on, I believe He will hear and answer, because He delights to hear His people plead this name. And all such pleadings He approves and blesses them indeed, and so He will bless in due time His people with a real blessing. You know, there's nothing like a blessing to the soul, is there? So then, if you and I are one of those souls that have that living faith in exercise to humbly follow Him at the throne of His mercy, at the footstool, and that you might have a knowledge of the Son of God, you see, this is it, isn't it? Growing from faith to faith, as you're favored to, as it were, with joy, draw water from the wells of salvation. A little sip here and there from these sweet wells of Bethlehem. You know, this is what the soul needs that's thirsty, doesn't it? Wants a sip by the way, and there's a strength and faith. And so there's that desire that we might all come in the unity of the faith. There's that union in your heart to the friends at the chapel. There's that desire too. There's that love. You say that this is it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And this is it, that you might be rooted and grounded in love. You see, love, as we were singing, is the golden chain that binds those happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. And if you have an indeed blessing, if I have an indeed blessing, our bosom will glow with love. No man will take it from you. There'll be such a sweetness in your soul that you'll be made willing then in the day of his power to take up his cross and humbly follow him. Ah, you will. There won't be any holding back then. The love of Christ will constrain you to humbly follow him into those ordinances whereby, you see, the Lord will honour you. I'm not saying it's an essential for salvation, friends, but the word declares this: if ye love me, keep my commandments. You see, and those commandments won't be grievous to you. So then some of us know something of the constraining power. Well, we humbly hope so as we look back. The constraining power of Christ to humbly follow him till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, there be that union between a poor sinner and Christ, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. The saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. You see, you know that we have that this sentence of death within ourselves. We are condemned to die. But what a mercy if Christ and you and we together are in union with this blessed Lamb. You see, nothing will hurt those that are in Christ's fold, because he is the shepherd. And he goes before them. And as you know, with a good shepherd in the east, he goes before his sheep. He clears the way of all the obstructions, the trials, in the sense of those that would destroy them. The wolf and the bear, as you know, David destroyed when he was looking after the sheep. And so you may sometimes feel that the devil that's going about as a roaring lion will destroy you. But my friends, if you have this union in your soul with the Lord Jesus Christ, that union will never be destroyed, come what may. Yes, you will be brought into those trials, because you see, as we go on in the text, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, there will be this passing through, in a measure, the trials that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. Remember that. We know he's paid the price for our sins, if so be we're in the covenant. And what a mercy that is. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through that solemn pathway of suffering to satisfy the just law of a holy God. And so there will be this. In your desires, you'll come here with Paul. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And in coming to that, my friends, I mean this. It does not mean we shall literally lose all our comforts, but they'll take us second place. If you and I want this, if we are truly that living faith in exercise, desiring to come into that unity, there be these secondary things will be really put to one side, and there be this, that we shall want to come to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, but that I may win Christ and be found in him. What a favour to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, certain fellowship of his sufferings. We won't go through this life without sufferings, by some way or another, whether it be trials in providence, whether it be trials in the family, whether it be exercises of soul, there be that nevertheless, that suffering being the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. And you know what a humbling pathway the Lord Jesus Christ has. Well, we have to confess we're not much like him, are we? And yet, if we're in this blessed covenant, there'll be this desire that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, but you say, I don't seem to grow. No, well, it would be a sad case if we were brought there where we saw much growth. But my friends, we must not quench the Holy Spirit. If the Lord has given you a desire, if the Lord has blessed you here and there under the ministration of the gospel, don't put it away. Remember that it's only the Spirit can take the words and seal them upon your heart. And if he has taught you to trust in his name, that's a little faith, friends, and he will strengthen it, and he'll strengthen your knowledge of him and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto a perfect man, you say? You say that we shall become unto a perfect man? Not this body of sin and death, my friends. Not this side of the grave. We know that we read in the day of the resurrection, corruption shall put on incorruption. We know that. But my dear friends, their living souls, if the work of grace has begun in them, the Lord started that work and he will perfect it. He will perform it. And it's grace from first to last. If your soul and my soul lands in heaven at last, and it's all the love of Christ, and it's all to poor sinners, and it's rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Have you a cause to hope that he has thoughts of peace toward you and not of evil, to give you an expected end? Has he given you desires in your heart to humbly seek his face? You'll not seek him in vain, friends. If you're seeking him in this faith, if you're seeking him with a little love and little hope in your soul, why, You see, this is the way that it comes, and it comes so often through trials and tribulations, because in your pathway you'll find this, I believe, that tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, so that in spite of all your doubts and fears, hope maketh it not ashamed, because the love of Christ, God, is shed abroad in your hearts by Christ Jesus. The love of Christ, my friends, rich and free, you think of it, fixed on his own eternally. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And you know, my friends, one of the marks that we look upon others, if we may set them up as an example, not to worship them, but one of the marks of a perfect man is this, and that is a man with grace in his heart, it'll be this. Those steps of that man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And we watch, and we have been favoured in our little pilgrimage to watch those that feared God. And we can see something about their pathway that is different to others. We may never have known they read and prayed, but there's something about them. Their countenance is different to those of the world. They're not murmuring and complaining about the things of this life. Oh, I know we've got that old man of nature still within us and about us. But my friends, for the most part, when this living faith in exercise is in exercise, they're walking in that way that the Lord has appointed to walk for them to walk in, and they're humbled in it. Does that grace of humility, does that tender fear in their heart, and they're not left to murmur and complain under these trying strokes of thine, but while they walk this mournful road, you'll see this, they're still, and they're being enabled by grace to say, be still, and know that thou art God. And they'll sit still, and see the salvation of the Lord, and stand still. And so you see, whether sitting or standing, their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're humbly watching and waiting his appearing. They'll be watching his hand in all matters, and tarrying oftentimes till they're faint. But nevertheless, these men and women too, of course, you know this includes, they're seeking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward. They may come up to the sanctuary, seeking that the Lord would speak to them through his word or through his servant, and that they might know which way to take. And the Lord, remember this, God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Oh, it's sometimes in such a way that it'll drive you to despair. And this is the way of the perfect man. He's humbly dependent upon his God, and he's persuaded in his own soul by that living faith that my God will supply my every need. They've got that faith to believe that he is their shepherd, and that they know that without him they can do nothing. What a mercy if we're given that grace then, to be brought unto this knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, finding that our steps, in spite of all our fears, have been ordered hitherto by the Lord. You see, and when you're brought there, you have those times when you can raise an Ebenezer. You say this, "Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." Ah, that's our desire, isn't it? If we're brought there where we're seeking that we might know and read our title clear, that to those mansions in the skies, Jesus Christ, this same Jesus, friends, he's entered into heaven by that new and living way. He has suffered for his people's sins. You see, and he won't require that payment again. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding short his hand, and then again at mine. Do you believe it? Well, my friends, he's gone into heaven to prepare a place for his people. And his promise was that he would come again and receive them unto himself. And it's by this way that sometimes will drive you to despair, when you don't seem to have that fellowship with him. You don't have that sweet communion with him. And that yet your desires are that you might know him and feel that saving knowledge of him. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, a fullness resides in Jesus, our head, and ever abides to answer our need. And this is your and my only hope for eternity. This great salvation. Christ shed his precious blood that poor sinners might live eternally. What love. That he should be willing to lay down his life. That you and we feel such ungodly wretches at times, that you and I might live eternally, saved from that going down into that pit, saved from the burning lake. Is it a concern to you that you might know him savingly? You see, the completeness of our salvation is to be found not in us, but in him. You see, in him all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And you know, my friends, if you and I are favoured to have received a word in season or a blessing, then you see, you're then the temple of the living God. And Christ dwelleth in you. Does he dwell in you? Ah, you mourn and lament, I know, over your sinful heart. But if you've received a fear not, or if you've received a blessing, a little word in season, such as I love thee well, my child, or if you've been blessed with such a sweet persuasion upon your soul that this is the Christ you want. Your desire has been this, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want." Ah, what a desire. You see, this is that little that a righteous man hath. The perfect man, the righteous man here, the little, it's perfect in the sight of God. You see, and it's a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Gold and silver can never save us. But blessed be God for gold and silver, I know, in providence. But there are those diversities of gifts in there, but it can never save our soul. So then your prayer is this, that you might say, "Have the Lord say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You want him to tell you where his flocks rest at noon, that you might abide with them. Oh, isn't it sweet when you're able to come up to the house of God, that you might dwell amongst them. You say this, with them numbered would I be, now and through eternity. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My friends, if we are brought there, there won't be that being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We're in the solemn times, I feel, today. There's much wind of doctrine. But we want to be taught this, as the hymn writer says, thy whole dependence on thee fix, on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. So we'll have to come there, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, what a mercy if we are washed in his precious blood. You see, washed in that precious blood, the devil will never, never take that away from you. Have you then a little living faith to believe in this God-man? Remember that, this man, this God-man, this beloved Redeemer, he sits at the right hand of God to make intercession for you. And that blessed Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. You see, sometimes we fall before his face at the throne of grace and we cannot seem to utter a word, but we know what's in our heart, don't we? Feeble desires, yes they are, but remember this, those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. What a mercy then if you and I are unable to seek on. If we're being able to cast our care upon him. Sometimes it means much humility, doesn't it? Humbling ourselves before men, maybe. In providence. And those round about us may be walking in that path of humility. Not answering when perhaps in an ungodly state we would have answered, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. May have to turn your back upon the ways of the world. You see, grace is separating, solemn, isn't it? But you see, it's come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. We may have to leave things for Christ's sake. Things that were once a great attraction to us. You see, we cannot serve two masters. If we're to serve the living Christ, if we're a humble disciple of his, though we shall feel to lack the knowledge that we would have of the Son of God, we lack that perfection that we would have. We lack that stature of Christ. But you see, it's only a measure of the stature of Christ. But it's by a way that is painful sometimes to the flesh. Because there is that, as I was saying, conformability to his sufferings. And so you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer much humility. And yet, you see, what a favoured pathway it is to those humble followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're given that grace of separation to come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. You'll be accounted as a jewel rich. What a mercy. If you and I have that desire that we might be accounted a jewel rich, to be made up amongst the Lord's jewels when he makes them up. A jewel. Something valuable, something precious in the sight of Christ. Is he exceedingly precious to you? Is he more precious to you than earth and all its comforts are? Or you say you're coming a long way now. Well, my friends, I believe that there will be that, those times in your experience when you'll say yes. You'll seek that you might have this knowledge and wisdom and understanding that the Lord alone can bestow upon you, that you might be made a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this will give us stability, won't it? In our walk and in our conversation, in our actions, they'll speak of Christ. And there'll be that doing the things decently and in order, one with another. And though men may rebuke you and mock you, remember he knoweth the way that we take. When he hath tried us, we shall come forth as gold. And gold, my friends, if there's a little gold in your heart and mine, there'll need to be a little of that work of putting it through the fire. Why is that? Why, gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses all but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. So that in that humble pathway that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go, so will his humble followers follow him. And it'll be by a way of bearing the cross. You'll have a cross. Because I believe this, friends, no cross, no crown. And sometimes when we're brought under that cross, that gets us very low. But you remember this, it brings us to that godly sorrow and repentance. The cross will cause you and I to mourn over our sins and after him. Had a few fall in tears of repentance. Remember this. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, rather than 99 that have no need of repentance. This blessed gospel, dear friends, it's for sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Haven't you had that felt sense of repentance at the awful sufferings of Christ? Did Christ my Lord suffer and shall I repine? What a precious Saviour is Jesus. Oh, we could desire to know and love him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Ah, we would live and walk closer with him, but alas, we seem to walk so afar off. And we seem to be like poor old Thomas. We want to put our hands in, our fingers in his hands, don't we? In the holes in his hands. And see a look upon his side before we shall believe. But you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ did appear in their midst and Thomas was there, he believed without seeing all these things. You see, well, the Lord's only got to speak to you and to me. We shall believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. and thou shalt be saved, and all thy household. He said to that Philippian jailer, well, we know that, not literally, because one in a family is saved, they're all saved. But my friends, it's a great favour if we have that desire in our heart that we might have this knowledge of the Son of God and to be made unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But you see, that fullness that does reside in his head, it ever abides, and this is our hope. In spite of all our sins that testify us against us, the Lord Jesus Christ does know the way that we're walking in. And oh, may we be enabled by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto him. Ah, it is a request, isn't it? To know that your Jesus Christ is crucified for you. Is this all your desire? Well, watch on, wait on. For the time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say, for me. Amen.